In today's gospel reading, Mary anoints the feet of Jesus with perfumed oil and then wipes them with her hair, an offering she makes that is both fragrant and flagrant. The scent of the pure nard permeates the rooms of the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, who are throwing Jesus a dinner party. This is on the Saturday night before he enters Jerusalem the next day, a day we now call Palm Sunday. Pure nard was the finest grade of oil extracted from the root and the spike of the nard plant. It was imported from as far away as India, which is why it cost so much. When Judas complains that the bottle of perfume could have been sold for 300 denarii, that is basically 300 days' wages. His upset seems reasonable, given that this flagrant misuse of money could have been spent on the poor. There is an uncomfortable intimacy in this public act of Mary's, a flagrant acknowledgement of the body. She's massaging oil into his feet with her hair. That's kind of intense, even for our day, much less back then. I mean, you'd never see that at a dinner party thrown by Episcopalians. That's a little too much touching. Mary's act is a public display of pure emotion that surely made the others at the dinner party uneasy. It was just too sensual in every sense of that word, because it also engaged the senses of everyone present, their smell and their sight. This story foreshadows an act that Jesus himself will do 5 days later when he washes his disciples' feet. That, too, is an act of intimacy, love, and service. How many of you have attended a church that does foot washing on Maundy Thursday? Very few. That's what I thought. Well, of the 9 Episcopal churches I have attended in my lay and ordained meanderings, only 4 of them have done it. On the other hand, the Roman Catholic churches I grew up in, they were all over it. They loved it. So not to stereotype, but it seems to me we Episcopalians have a healthy dose of body aversion. Whether it's from shame, past experiences, or a heightened sense of propriety, we don't really want to make ourselves vulnerable or be touched in that way. But don't worry, we won't do it this year either. So back to Bethany. Judas complains, we could have sold that fancy perfume oil for a year's wages and given the proceeds to the poor. Now, it's only in John's gospel that Judas Iscariot is the disciples' treasurer, which, not to question the judgment of Jesus, but if he knows who's going to betray him, as he does in John's gospel, you would think he'd know well enough not to trust him with their struggling nonprofit's cash box. But there we are. Aside from that, I think Judas actually makes a good point. This extravagant act, this flagrant misuse of money, this bad stewardship of resources was irrational and economically unsound. But Mary's fragrant offering is crucial to our understanding of John's depiction of Jesus. In this gospel, more than in any of the other 3, Jesus is viewed through the lens of a high Christology, meaning John, in his gospel, accentuates the divinity of Christ, the high Christ, over the humility of Jesus, the low Christ, if you will. So in John's gospel, you don't have the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, and you don't have Jesus spending time with tax collectors, lepers, shepherds, prostitutes, or the poor. What you do have in John is the divine logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you have the Jesus who proclaims, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, and I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, the divinity of Christ is stressed much more by John. Now, John's gospel basically has two parts. Chapters 1 through 10 that tell stories of Jesus' ministry and healing, and then chapters 12 through 21 that narrate his final days of ministry, his passion, and his resurrection. In the middle part, chapters 11 through 12, Jesus is hanging out in the town of Bethany. In chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead. The miracle in John that is the last straw for the chief priests and Pharisees who decide that Jesus has now become too powerful and must be stopped. This is what triggers all the tragic events about to transpire in Holy Week for John. So here we are today in chapter 12 with Mary's fragrant and flagrant act. In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, a woman, they don't name her as Mary, anoints Jesus' head, not his feet, signifying kingship, like when the prophet Samuel anointed David king by pouring oil over his head. But in the Gospels of John and Luke, it's the feet of Jesus that are anointed. It was customary back then to start with the feet when anointing a corpse in preparation for burial. So Mary is, at the same time, foreshadowing his impending death, while also, because of the precious cost of the oil, announcing that he is a person of great importance, even the Messiah. His death and kingship are revealed in her great and singular act in this gospel. Now, I think for most of us, myself included, we are more comfortable with the human Jesus, the Jesus of Luke, who has compassion on the outcasts and blesses the poor, eats with sinners and mingles with lepers. The Jesus who commends the widow's mite is more precious than all the gold given by the others in the temple. But the divine Christ in John's gospel also demands to be known in our lives. And so perhaps the question for us today is this: what will be your fragrant, flagrant offering to Jesus Christ? How do you proclaim and honor him as divine in your life? When have you wiped his feet with oil? Truly, I say to you, you have done so whenever you have shown kindness or generosity to another person, helped them, or made them feel welcome. You have done so whenever you have willingly made yourself vulnerable before others, especially if it elicits their vulnerability, or when you have served them with care and humility, or offered gratitude when you were cared for. I recently read a definition of sin as being anything that pulls you away from others or from God or from your true self. In other words, the opposite of sin is connection or relationship in all its forms when manifested in love. And you know, to sin is not to make you an awful person. To sin is human. But when you let your thoughts or your actions alienate you from connection, from being with other people, from compassion, from openness and honesty, that can be a form of sin. So honor Christ by connecting with and loving others. And the more flagrant your connecting is, not just with family or friends, but with strangers or with people you may never meet in person or with people you're having a fight with. The more flagrant your connection, the more fragrant and generous your offerings will be to God. Jesus says, "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." His words are echoing a passage from Deuteronomy in chapter 15. "There will always be poor people in the land, so I command you to give freely to your neighbors and to the poor and needy in your land." Jesus is not saying, "Don't give to the poor, spend it instead on fancy perfume for my feet." No. He's saying, "Do give to the poor, even though there always will be need and it may wear you out. But alongside that, make time for the divine as well. Because sometimes the extravagant gesture is what is called for, to honor what is divine in your life, what is precious, even though it be fleeting." Jesus is right. We will always have the poor with us, and we are called to comfort and accompany them as much as we can. But there is also a time and a place for gratitude and for giving thanks and for extravagant joy and for looking towards the divine in our lives and our salvation. Today we can't really throw Jesus a dinner party, kneel down, anoint his feet with oil, and wipe them dry with our hair. But we do honor him each time we connect in relationship with others, when we care for those in need, whether they are struggling with economic hardship, physical ailment, or mental anguish. We honor Christ when we can access our inner humility, intimacy, and vulnerability that will bring us closer to our fellow human beings. So what will be your fragrant, flagrant offering to Christ in these final days of Lent?